Well, again, that scares me when the offering goes that fast, amen. I know after it's put in the plate and put in the bank, it goes off fast, goes real fast then. But all joking aside, God's been good to us. A lot of churches have hurt because of the shutdown and the pandemic stuff. God has been good to us. We've got our bills paid, and Lord is blessed because His people responded to Him and gave. And that's the way it ought to be, folks. We ought to give as unto God. It's, understand that. I believe the church is the closest thing to God's heart as far as looking at a man's institution here on earth. Nothing compares to it. And the Bible says the Lord, speaking of Jesus, loved the church and gave Himself for it. So that's on the top of the list, amen. When the shutdowns first started and the biggest part of the scare began to get going, I had folks thought, I'll shut down the church. I said, I can't do that. Not my authority. That's God's church. And I'll never face Him with giving such order as that. And I didn't, and I'm certainly glad I didn't. I just trusted God anyhow. Amen. Revelation chapter 13. I know you think we're never going to get out of it. And the truth is, if I did it justice, we'd be in it a long, long time. Powerful chapter in the Word of God. We're living up to the fulfillment of this chapter, even though we don't believe it'll actually break on the world until the church, the saved, are called out when the trumpet sounds. We believe that is symbolized for us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, when John is caught up into heaven. He has a trumpet talking with him. He has a voice that he hears, and he's caught up to the throne of God. John is a good type of the church, New Testament church. He was the one leaning on the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper. He was the one that did not deny Him when others did. He's the one that refers to himself in the Bible as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John stood true. If you read between the verses, it almost seems like when Peter backslid and got scared and warmed his hands at the devil's fire and ultimately led to him denying the Lord in front of the crowd there. If you read between the lines, you almost get the idea that John, the youngest of the disciples, perhaps even a teenager at that time, may have been the one that sicked the little maid on Peter. Somebody said to her, he's one of them. It just could be that it was John. And if it was John, he was saying, Peter, open your big mouth for the Lord. And Peter opened it the wrong way and later regretted it, of course. And glad that he came back and got it right. But John was an old man now by the time he wrote the book of Revelation, probably in his 90s. He's what we would call in prison. He was on a prison island. He was on the Isle of Patmos. That's it. In some countries today, still, they have prison islands. The big prison that we had out California way, Alcatraz, is that the name of it out there? It's an island. They claim nobody ever escaped from it, and then they do argue that one or two men might have lived in the cold water and tried to get away. But the water becomes a great barrier to escape, of course. So John is on that type of island. John's not trying to escape. God's using him on the island. Of all the disciples, they were martyred, every one of them, except John. And history tells us that they tried to martyr John, and somehow God supernaturally preserved him because he was still not through with him. Let him go out to the island to receive this revelation of Jesus Christ that we're studying. And John may have died of old age after all, even with the attempts to martyr him. His understudy, assistant pastor Polycarp, was martyred, was born at the stake, and the Fox's Book of Martyrs will tell you the story of that if you get it and read it. And it's an interesting thing, as we get into this chapter, as far back as after John wrote the book of Revelation, Polycarp, his assistant pastor, had not yet been martyred, and very likely was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Apparently John pastored it a while also. Timothy did too, I believe, if you read close. But It is said, as we get to the end of chapter 13, of course, everybody's so interested in the mark of the beast, and everybody trying to figure it out, no point in that. We'll talk a lot about it, but the truth is, that's been speculated from the time John wrote it on. In John's day, many thought it was referring to Nero, and it would have fit him in some ways. Polycarp supposedly was asked the question about the mark of the beast. You'd think if John knew, perhaps Polycarp would know. And it is written, whether it be totally accurate or not, we are not sure, but in some of the old historical writings, some of the church fathers, it is written that Polycarp gave an answer like this to the number or the mark of the beast. He said it had to do, in fact, they said he said, this is what's written of him, that he said it had to do with the Latin kingdom. Latin. How good are you on your Latin? Did you study that in school? Well, some of us had to do a little bit with it, but like me, it didn't stick, I'm sure. Sort of like algebra in one ear and out the other. But anyway, we'll get to it. Not going to get to it this morning, but I give you a little assignment. See, I never give assignments in my class. And say, why? Because they never turned in. So there's no point in giving them, right? But if I gave you an assignment and you're interested in knowing a little bit about the mark of the beast, and you take the word Latin and you do a little research on it, a little history on it, and add it all up, you'll come to 666. So Polycarp might have been closer on what he was referencing than you might think. The number is 666, the number of man's name, so forth. I'll give you this assignment. I'll probably lose every one of you start thinking about it right now instead of listening, but I make mistakes like that every now and then. How many of you ever heard of the Roman numerals? Yeah, I'm sure you have. What are they called? Roman. Keep that in mind. It has to do with the Roman kingdom. What was the main language? Wasn't it Latin? Didn't you study in school? Didn't they bore you with all the Shakespeare stuff and Caesar and Cassius, who had a mean and hungry look? You remember studying that? And Shakespeare himself, born on Stratford of the Avon River over there. I remember when I went to England, they wanted to show me that. I said, I don't want to show that. That reminds me of that boring class I had in school. Don't need to see where Shakespeare lived. But anyway, if you want to do something, take the Roman numerals and accurately, every one of them has a corresponding number to it. What is L50? Is that right? Of course, you got 1, 2, 3, and then you know how to write 4. You know how the V substitutes for the U. They don't use the letter U. They use the letter V again. Take them all. Just add them up. Tell me what you get next week. All right. I'm not giving you a prize. Make you have detention, take it over again or something, amen. All joking aside, there's some interesting stuff, and everybody for hundreds of years have studied this chapter that we're talking about, and it comes down finally to being the number of a man. And when it finally materialized in the system that we see being built, even in America and the world right now, the system's here, the man hadn't showed up yet. The man is the Antichrist. He's the first beast here in chapter 13. And he will show up and he will head up his kingdom. He will have a number just like it says, very literal. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. I want to jump in on the second beast, the false prophet, this morning and talk a little more about him today. It says in verse 11 of Revelation 13, "And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, we can debate about where he comes from and all that. Most Bible students believe that this is coming out of the old Roman Empire, which still does exist as far as geography goes. And Rome is still a headquarters, Vatican there now, of course, and we understand that. But this beast comes out of the earth, and he has a message when he comes up. He is got two horns like a lamb, but he's a fake. He speaks as a dragon. He's the devil. We often hear the statement, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, here is a lamb that is going to be the devil, but he's going to be one that is leading a great crowd of people that worship, and he's going to tell them to worship the beast, first beast, because the first beast had a wound by the sword. We studied that last week, and yet he lived. Now, that'll get you worldwide attention in a hurry. If an assassination attempt, I'm just putting this where we could understand it, if an assassination attempt takes place on a well-known leader in the world, you're going to get it on the news instantly. And then, if he, so to speak, appears to come back from the dead, that's really going to get attention. And yet here you have the religious leader of the world saying, worship him. What happened to him was showing that he's of God. Listen, we've seen in this pandemic thing how easy the multitudes fall for stuff, how easy they are to deceive, how easy they are to fool. Don't kid yourself for a moment. They're going to be totally fooled in what we're reading here in this chapter 13. And we're seeing it come together. Really, truthfully, and I've been saved a long time, 50 years here as pastor, 3 years in a little country church, and before that teaching Sunday school, and a long time. I was saved in 1957, January 1957. Yeah, we had round wheels and didn't have a lot of stuff they got now, I'll tell you that. Amazes me. But we had the Bible, and so from that time on, I've been studying the Word of God, and the truth is, I've lived long enough to see stuff I never expect to see, stuff I taught my young people's group about. Now, I say it is going to happen. Now I'm going to say it already happened. It's already happened. So we're in that day and time. We ought to be excited about it. How much more time? I don't know. But it tells me that don't have far to go to finish it all off. And so in chapter 13, we're going to see a false prophet show up, pointing to the beast that was wounded and lived. So you got two beasts in this chapter 13, and the beasts are men. Beasts sometimes are referred to as governments and men, and you can't hardly separate the two. And so he's going to point to the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, I went to Zechariah 11 and talked to you about it. And watching out for the way the first beast is wounded. It appears that he has an eye put out, according to Zechariah chapter 11. And he has an arm that's gone lame, been wounded, dried up, whatever. So I've had preachers joke with me about it because they know I started this several years ago pointing that out. And we was in a preacher's meeting like we're starting right now. And one of my good friends, I've known him for many years, he was sitting right here on his front pew. And I was up there making an announcement, and I looked down there, and he had a patch of one eye and had his arm in a sling. He was playing with me. I'm the man, you know. And we had a good laugh about it. That's the way the guy's going to show up one day. He's going to show up that way. He's going to get wounded, but he's going to live. And the religious leader of the world is going to point out to him, hey, this is of God. This is supernatural of the Lord. I've said to you so many times, supernatural things don't always point to God. The devil has limited power, but he does have power. And he is the big deceiver. And deception is what you find mentioned here in the context. And it's the age of deception. I think we're living in the age of deception now. Boy, I mean, deception is out there. And folks, I'm not one of the guys that goes around with a cell phone in his ear. I use it just like it was an old phone, and that's rare. Most folks are getting their pictures, they're getting their news, they're getting everything in the world. And I've, quite frankly, and there's a side of me that envies you, and there's a side of me that despises it. I'm just not going to be as available for every. I told you the other day, I was riding with a preacher in a pickup truck going from his church to town. It wasn't 10 miles. I bet you he answered 50 phone calls and tried to get a word in between. Another phone call. I thought, I'd throw that thing out the window. I mean, I'm not going to give my life to that. Now, some of you do, and that's all right. And once in a while, when I want to know something quick and I'm too lazy to look it up in a book, I'll call somebody that's sharp with a telephone and say, look this up. They'll look it up in a minute. So I like that part, but not enough to do it myself. All right, I got off on that. That's just some of personal Mickey's choices, amen? But right here, the false prophet, we call him. Later on, we're going to see where there's a, while we have God as a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, later we're going to find here where there is a unholy Trinity. There's also three. And basically, you know what they are. The dragon, the devil, as the Father, so to speak. Then you're going to have the false prophet and the Antichrist. You got your unholy Trinity as well as the Holy Trinity. And that's displayed here in the Bible. Now, he's going to say, worship this one that's had the wound and was healed. And then he's going to do something powerful. Verse 13. And he doeth great wonders. Who does? The false prophet. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Sort of like Elijah did out there with the prophets of Baal. Bring the fire down. And it says in verse 14, and deceiveth, that's the key word, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do, and it calls them a miracle. In the eyes of man, it's a miracle. Power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, the Antichrist is watching the false prophet, the second beast, do these things, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So the false prophet tells them to build an image to the Antichrist, to the first beast. And we have the Bible previewing that, so to speak. You have in the book of Daniel how that Nebuchadnezzar had a great image made, how that he told everybody to bow down to his image when they heard the sound of music, remember? And the three Hebrew boys wouldn't bow, and they went in the fiery furnace. But the good part was God went in there with them and brought them out. We know the story. Wonderful, true story. But you got something acted out early in the Bible that later on is going to see its final fulfillment. And that will finally be fulfilled in this story that we are, this information we're getting here out of chapter 13. Now, power to bring fire down from heaven, that'll be convincing. Folks, one of the biggest things we got to watch out for today is not to be deceived. How am I not going to be deceived when I see something like that happen? I got to go by what God says about it. Got to measure it by the Bible. Got to judge it by the Bible. And it will be hard. It'll be hard. I know some folks right now that's got into some bad religion. So, and there are a lot of religions, there's only one true religion, which is Christianity, but a lot of fake religions today. And yet they have enough of the devil's power to attract people and to deceive people. And I know some folks that think they have almost seen God. They've had power demonstrations, but it won't measure up with Scripture. And it was for nothing else but to deceive. And the whole religion is built on that. Many of you know some of the Hindu gods. Man, they have some awful-looking creatures they draw up to depict God. So many arms and legs, and you've seen that, haven't you? Do you know those people over there will take people that don't get enough food to eat, can't feed their own kids. They'll take all the best food they can get a hold of and go put it at that fake God's feet. That's awful, isn't it? And as the Bible says, they have ears, but they hear not, and eyes, but they see not. Fake gods. And I've talked to some folks that live right around that stuff, and they said, well, they're convinced that they're feeding their God. I'm glad I got a God that feeds me instead of me having to feed him. Amen. But anyway, I said, well, what happens to the food? Well, what happens to it if you set it out here somewhere? Same thing. It deteriorates, it rots, the insects eat it, the birds come by, whatever. But they still accredit that when they come back and some of it's gone, that their God took it. Now, how can you be that deceived? But they are. They are. They believe that stuff. And on occasion, there's some power of the devil is allowed to show them to deceive them. Anybody ever seen the rope trick in India, in their religion? Now, I've known folks that stood 10 foot from it. Now, we've all seen somebody play on a little flute and the cobra come out of the basket and dance in front of them. You say, he's a real cobra? Yeah, and I'd be a lot further than that from him. But the rope thing is when the rope comes out of the basket, wiggling like a snake, and swirls around and finally comes all up high in the air and is so stiff that the magician or the false prophet that's doing it, that his little boy can climb the rope. You say, I couldn't be. Well, it's on camera. It's documented. It's something you can't duplicate and I can't duplicate. Then what is it? Is it supernatural? Yes, it is. But the question is, where does the power come from? Don't come from God. God's not in the deceiving business. But the false prophet's going to be in that. He's going to call fire down from heaven. He's going to say, worship the first beast, and people are going to do it. And then to prove that worship, they're going to wind up taking the number and the mark of the beast as we get near the end of the chapter here. But he's going to be able to call fire down from heaven. He's going to deceive them that dwell on the earth, verse 14. He's going to have an image made to the beast, and the image is going to speak. Now, modern technology can do that today. I've told you that. Modern technology can send somebody out on this platform, and you think he's a real human being, but he'll be a, what do they call it, hologram or whatever they call it. And they have actually out in Hollywood had a leading actor die and create a fellow to finish the film who is an image, and you won't know the difference. They've done some amazing things. I remember years ago when they did this first in Japan and brought a guy out to an audience and had him make a speech. But the guy was actually way behind the curtain, and it was his image out there making the speech. And somehow or another, apparently out of the thin air, they could hold that image in place and make folks think it was a real, real man out there. And they've done that in some cases where they feared assassination. And they've done that just to fool people. So if modern technology could do that, what can the devil do? I have a theory he's somewhat in electronics anyway. You ever worked on him? Just electronics on a car makes me think he's in it sometime. Much less some of this other stuff that really goes up there in the computer age and all that. That is the place right now that technology can do what the scripture just said here. Bring out an image. Make the image speak. And if that can be now, it's certainly going to happen. And we're not talking too far off. The technology is here right now. But the beast that had a wound by a sword, keeps saying that, so it was a violent wound. Sword could be a gun. It could be a lot of things. But it's talking about people would, before guns were invented, it read sword. So we understand. You know, the Bible is so written that the folks that read it and studied it 100 years ago can still get it. Yet you and I come down on this end 100 plus years, much more than that, later, and we can say, okay, now we know how an image could come out, how he could speak, how he could deceive, how false fire could come down from heaven as though it was from God. All of that could be done now with our technology. But the folks that read it and believed it back then, we're not ahead of them. They just believed the Word of God as it was written, and we still need to believe it just like it's written today. So powers give to this false prophet now, verse 15, to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, image of the beast, should be killed. And we've talked to you about that. There's a method that's used in the tribulation period of killing. When we get to chapter 6 of Revelation, we find souls without bodies under the altar crying out to God, how long before you're going to avenge our death? And he says, wait a while until the rest of them are killed the same way you are. I'm paraphrasing that. We have to go all the way over to chapter 20 to find out how they were killed. Chapter 20, we find out they were beheaded. Beheaded. Then we realize that the method that the Antichrist is going to kill those that will not take his mark is going to be beheading. Yes, preachers of old preached a long time ago the guillotine that was used in the French Revolution. So many people lost their lives that it's going to be brought back. Well, it may be. Then Islam came on the scene, and their main thing was killing with the sword, chopping off heads. And so that could be it too. And I don't want to repeat this anymore, but right here in America, we've had states, governments, store up guillotines by the thousands. And how in the world can we justify that? I don't know. And I actually inquired, why would you want to store up this many, whatever it was, 8,000, 10,000 guillotines that one of the states has stored up? And I told you the answer, but some of you were not here, so I'll say it again. Their answer was some of the prisoners that's being executed want to donate their organs. You run the organs if you gas them. You run the organs if you hang them. You run their organs if you put them before a firing squad. But if you cleanly chop off their head, then the organs can be transplanted. Now, that was their answer. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't think that's it at all. But that's the answer we got from a state legislator that voted for his state to buy these guillotines and store them up. Now, several years ago, what would you say? Did I tell you that 10 years ago, probably? 8 anyway. Long time back I told you that. Still true. So we're getting real close to finishing off and fulfilling all that's said right here in this chapter dealing. Coming down finally to the end of the chapter, we'll come to the mark of the beast. But there's this type of killing, and it's called beheading. It's going to take place in the tribulation period. It's going to take place with those that will not obey and fall in with the system and with the state rule and the law and worship the beast. I used to, and I'm going to say this and quit one minute here. I used to read this years and years ago, and I'd say, how would the people? It's right here. Anybody that reads the Bible can see it. Why will they line up for the mark of the beast? I don't ask that question no more. Read your newspaper. Look at the TV and see what the lions are doing today. They're fussing because they can't get vaccinated fast enough. Now, I'm not telling you to do it. Don't do it. And I don't think the vaccination right now is the mark of the beast, but it could be included in it when it comes. And all they got to do is scare somebody to think they're going to. I asked somebody that got so scared of the COVID thing, and I think it's serious. I've seen some folks have died from it, but not near the percentage they say. Not near. And I had to say to somebody, and I still say it to you, you think you're going to die without God knowing it? Don't you think he's still in charge? Sure. Now, if I can trust him with my soul not to go to hell, I can trust him with my body if he wants to take it by COVID, if he wants to take it by, I don't know, car wreck, heart attack. It still won't surprise God. It may surprise some others, but it won't surprise God. I believe it. Don't you believe you in his hand if you're saved? I do. Sure I do. That's what the scripture teaches. So I feel like if I can trust him with my soul, I can trust him with everything else. And say, okay, Lord, your will be done. Amen. Time's up, I believe, Brother Smith. Okay, we're still holding about the same. Sunday school, 8:38, with about 300 online. So we praise the Lord for that. Appreciate the folks that do watch us. 8 or 9 minutes, we'll start the preaching service. Please stay with us.